This episode of Game On is brought to you by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology.
It's Sunday, January 29th, and I wonder if this is Aperture. Yep, just as I suspected. Xbox 720 rumors are multiplying like wet gremlins. We sort through the fact and fiction like a determined yet still adorable Phoebe Cates. Make me bark like a dog. Ooh, Phoebe, you little minx.
Ay, Dios mío. Veronica rebrews the new Tropico 4 DLC Modern Times. Bailamos.
Voice acting legend Liam O'Brien tells us about his epic career and if he's ever ordered Taco Bell drive-thru as a horseman of the apocalypse. My sword is skyward and I'm surrounded by fairies. It must be time for Game On!
Like that, we are on for Game On. I'm Brian Brushwood.
And I'm Veronica Belmont.
And no matter what the rumors are, we can just agree that Xbox 720 is a terrible name.
Absolutely terrible.
And first of all, that's not confirmed at all. Nobody thinks it's the Xbox, they're calling it that. Mm-hmm. But to me, like, Xbox 360 means you see the world around you. Xbox 720 means you just run around in circles.
Just going around and around and around, yeah.
So what do we got coming up?
Oh, all sorts of good stuff. We've got Liam O'Brien on the show tonight.
Yeah, speaking of which, you've done some voice acting.
I have.
Do we have a clip of this? We talked about this before the show.
Embarrassing.
From the Fallout DLC, right?
Yes, from Old World Blues.
From Old World Blues, which is the DLC for
Fallout New Vegas.
Fallout New Vegas. What did you play?
It's nice to meet you.
Oh, they're playing it now.
You from today?
You're a disembodied voice of a suit?
That's my stealth suit,
we're okay,
Mark II.
On Stimpaks.
You play? That's you.
I get you addicted to Stimpaks. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Max supplies adequate.
You're like a drugged out Gladys.
Ready, steady, fighty.
That's
one of my lines.
Did you play multiple characters?
Yes, I was also the sexy light switches.
You were sexy light switches?
In an area called the sink.
Wait, what is a sexy light switch?
There's two light switches, and they fight back and forth over the player.
Okay, so one's sexy, and what's the other one?
The other one's just kind of snotty.
Snotty?
Yeah, like one's kind of an intellectual, and one's kind of like sexy and sassy. But they argue back and forth at each other and try to get you to side with them.
Awesome. All right, guys. Yeah. Well, of course, you know that the show... Oh, wait, you got it right here?
Our project was by far the more significant.
This is awesome!
I have to say, it makes me really uncomfortable to listen to this.
By the way, expect his sales to skyrocket 10,000% after that. Hey guys, you know that the show doesn't happen without you. We record live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at live.twit.tv, or you can contribute stories to our subreddit at twitgameon.reddit.com, or hit us up over Twitter, and we do read every single at reply at twitgameon.
Yes, and remember to stay tuned after the show when me, Brian, and the rest of the Game On staff will play Left 4 Dead 2 with you on Shut Up and Play immediately following Game On. I will literally kill you. Literally. That is a promise.
That is true. Now you guys know, because you were too busy already packing your bags to go to Newt Gingrich's moon colony, which is awesome, by the way.
Best thing he ever said.
Yes, absolutely. We can all agree, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a week's worth of news and the system update.
Steam has announced a new app for iOS and Android. Among the features are purchases, messaging, and screenshots of games you might like to message your friends about buying. Now, should you be stuck at your sister's bat mitzvah when Orcs Must Die drops to $3.40 for 12 hours, you'll be able to nab the game instead of ruining the day your parents procreated again and ruined your life.
Nintendo is ready to party like it's 2009. They announced a Nintendo Network, a service for Wii U and 3DS, which may eventually allow for the sale of full retail titles and an optimized experience for DLCs, pending negotiations with physical retailers. Of course, this is something Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network have allowed for years. One major frustration corrected will be data transfer between devices. Previously, if you purchased a new Wii and wanted any of your data from your old Wii on the new hardware, you'd have to send both to Nintendo so they could transfer it themselves. They also wanted to let you know that Michael Jackson died. Oh my god, Chris Brown punched Rihanna. I read it on my brand new Barnes & Noble Nook that lovely Susan Boyle gave me. Also, Bertie Madoff, Octomom, Balloon Boy, David After Dentist, and time-lapse beard growth video.
Blizzard has a new title and a release date for you. It's called Disappointment, and it's available right now in the hearts of everyone who wanted to go to BlizzCon in 2012. Blizzard announced their annual fan gathering is hereby canceled as they focus on meeting release schedules for StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm, the new WoW expansion Mists of Pandaria, and Diablo III. If those three aren't out by July 4th, they will also cancel Columbus Day, the World Series, and Christmas. BlizzCon has promised to return in 2013, unless it's not.
Remember when Netflix briefly went completely insane, changed their name, raised prices, split into two companies, and infuriated their loyal customer base? Well, now they've killed the only good idea to ever come out of that embarrassing freakout. CEO Reed Hastings announced during an investor call that Netflix has officially abandoned their plans to allow users to rent video games. The feature, which would have instantly created a credible challenger to services like Gamefly, has been dismissed but not forgotten. Like that time you peed in grandma's pool.
The biggest story this week were rumors about the so-called Xbox 720. First, the good news. IGN reports that the hardware will be six times as fast as the 360 and is slated for a late 2013 release date. The boner news? Kotaku reports that it will include a new used disc prevention measure that might outright kill the ability to play previously played games. On the upside, it looks like it will have Blu-ray capabilities. That's kind of cool, right? Blu-ray?
But how solid are these rumors? Are they secret truths or scurrious fibs whispered on a tainted wind? There's only one way to find out. We are now joined by IGN senior editor Damon Hatfield to help break down everything that's come to light this week. Hi, Damon.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming in on a Sunday night to your office over there.
I have nothing better to do. My life is very sad.
Thank you. So tell us about the 720 a little bit. What's the release time looking like?
I would bet on an announcement this summer at E3, but not a release until probably fall of 2013.
Wow. And so is it true that, are we really looking at six times the power? And what does that even mean, considering that the graphics hardware for the Xbox 360 is, what, five generations out of date compared to what's going on PCs?
Yeah, well, so six times as powerful. It's based on a PC graphics card that's available right now, the AMD Radeon 6670 HD, which retails for about $80. Like, that is the graphics chip that it looks like the next Xbox is going to be using.
Oh,
and you're right, this Xbox 720 is a terrible name. I like to call this Super Xbox. I think that sounds much cooler.
Super Xbox. I'm with you, dude. That would be way better. Well, and keep in mind, it should be noted that, of course, it's kind of unfair to compare PC power to console powers, because when you're able to write a title for a console, you're able to take much more advantage of what power there is there, right?
And there's no guesswork involved either with what people are working
with. You don't have bloatware, you don't have other programs running in the background.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But that's looking pretty spot on. The rumor that I just can't believe is true is the fact that it would block the use of used games.
Now,
crazy.
Yeah, where do you suppose that would come from? What would be the upside from that? Are they really shouting? I mean, with all the problems with piracy that they have, would it really be like the scourge of used games is what's haunting console gamers nowadays?
Obviously, they've been, you know, publishers have been experimenting with incentivizing buying new, like with online passes, you know, where you have to buy a used copy in order to use the online features. But that's totally different than locking out the entire game unless you buy a new copy. You know, people have been selling and bartering their properties since the Stone Age. So I just can't believe Microsoft would pit them in a battle where they're like in a war against their own consumers like that.
What I'm trying to figure out is how, from a technical point of view, they would actually do that. What technology would be involved with blocking used games?
This is just my own guess, but what if when you put it in your Xbox, it's tied to your gamer tag?
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
I could see something like that.
Yeah.
So, real quick, obviously, another rumor is that it's got a built-in Blu-ray player. Now, I'm not somebody who cares about Blu-ray. Of course, I love high-def movies, but I want them to all be streamed to my computer or console. But I am very excited about the possibilities of using a Blu-ray player in order to get much more content. Obviously, a game like, I think we're just, for next week's LAN party, downloading 20 gigabytes of data for DCUO. What are the possibilities, and why should we be excited about a Blu-ray player in an Xbox 720?
Oh, just like you said, you know, they're capable of storing much more data than the DVDs that the current Xbox is using. Remember, Final Fantasy XIII, the first 13 that came out last year was on multiple discs, whereas on the PlayStation 3 it was only one disc. What I think is interesting is that at the beginning of this generation, Microsoft is backing its own HD DVD tech. So it's pretty poetic that I think that if they're now endorsing their previous rival in Blu-ray.
What am I going to do with my massive HD DVD collection?
I know, right?
I was really hoping that would come back around.
No, that I should
HD TV player.
Just let it go, let it slide.
Yeah.
Any ideas about Kinect 2 or what we should expect from the whole motion control area?
Yeah, imagine Kinect 2 will be bundled in with the next Xbox, the Super Xbox. But we're hearing that it will be able to read lips and actually be able to detect emotion in your voice. So wow. That sounds pretty cool to me. Like a game that's conversation heavy, like Mass Effect. What if the character you're having a conversation with can detect mood changes in your voice?
So do you think this is the kind of thing where it'll be a software upgrade, or you think it's going to be completely new hardware with higher definition cameras for the next version of the Kinect?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be new hardware, because it's sounding like it's going to be much more advanced than the current Kinect tech that we have now.
Minority Report is now.
Exactly. Yeah, dude, it's coming any second now. I'm kind of scared / excited.
I'm kind of stoked on that, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Damon. IGN.com, you know it, you love it. And Damon works there, so make sure you check it out.
Or we'll punch you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys, don't go anyway. We're going to be right back after this very important public service announcement. As you know, there are certain issues that sort of transcend our normal advertisers, and we'd like you to sort of take a moment and really consider the issue we're about to discuss.
She suffers in silence. For 5 years, Veronica Belmont has paid for her own games on Steam. Without a press account, despite so many email requests for one. Her sacrifice is indescribable. That premium cream soda wasn't bottled locally. It was bottled in Wisconsin. Ew.
I will be the answer at the end of the line.
Hey, you guys. I'm OMG Chad. Could you please help us save Veronica Belmont the $30 a month she spends on Steam games? Too bad. You can't. Unless your name is Doug Lombardi, and you work at Steam's PR department. If you are not named Doug Lombardi, could you please find him and text or call him and be just like, dude, what's up with this? If you are Doug Lombardi, could you please email the email you see below? Only you can help us solve this incredibly trivial white girl tech journalist first world problem.
Seriously, Wisconsin. Gross.
What? Balls of yarn are fun.
I'm sorry. That was my favorite part of the whole thing. You were so excited about
DIY fun. That's what it's about. Have you ever wanted total control of a sun-drenched Latin American banana republic?
Yes.
Where the smell of cigars and rum mingle with the soft sounds of bathing suit spandex stretching.
Yes.
Also, the ability to kill rebels who seek to unseat you from power.
Yes.
Prepare to live your fantasy, mis amigos. We're talking about Tropico. And Tropico was one of my favorite games.
All right, now this is interesting for me, because Tropico was always one of those games I saw advertised, and whenever I saw it, I thought, I don't know, some kind of Rise of Nations, SimCity type game, but you have a beard. for those who aren't hip to Tropico, tell us about the backstory for
it. All right, well, this is really about the new DLC that's coming out, Modern Times.
Right.
But Tropico, most recently, the biggest release was Tropico 4.
Okay.
They've gone all the way up. I mean, it's a great series of games. It's kind of like it's a simulation game, but there's also quests that you have to complete at the same time.
Like what would be an example of a quest?
Like you have to get a certain amount of agricultural money from your farms or from your cows and your sheep and your livestock. But the best part is that you can be a total dictator.
Right.
And you can like basically crush the populace
like
under
the
your
you
thumb.
That. You can't be a total dictator.
Dictator. You play as a character called El Presidente.
Awesome.
And you can choose from a bunch of different pre-chosen presets, basically,
okay.
of different kinds of either, you know, are you a dictator type? Are you very suave? Are you a gambler? You have a different set of presets that you can choose from in the beginning of the game.
Okay.
But Modern Times really takes it to the next level. It's probably my favorite DLC that's come out for the game so far. It's not out yet. It's coming out soon. And it's coming out for PC and Xbox. And it's awesome. It's got all sorts of new buildings, 30 new modern buildings. But once you upgrade, you can't go back to the older buildings.
Well, I mean, just like time itself.
But it's not like you get a whole new set of buildings. It's like certain buildings will replace the ones that already existed.
Okay.
So if you get a new kind of apartment building, you can't go back and make the old tenements.
So if Modern Times is something new, where was previously Tropico 4 set in?
It's kind of Cold War era.
Okay.
Because you're fighting for, like, the U.S. and the USSR are kind of fighting over control of your island.
Oh, I gotcha.
Or your area.
So you've got two courtiers and you're
exactly.
trying to impress them both.
So you can decide if you want to impress the U.S. and then the USSR gets mad at you, or you can do stuff with like, different countries as well in later DLC.
Third world problems.
Yes. but what I love is that they have these new organic farms, they're bio farms, and they don't employ as many people, but they have really great output, and they have super mines. So you used to be able to mine different resources off your island, and that would run out after time. But now you can actually have these mines that never fully deplete. So even though most of the resources are gone, they just dig deeper, they burrow deeper,
awesome.
And they find all your resources from inside your island, and you can continue to make money that way. But the best part is they have magical metro stations. They don't really explain the science of how they work, because you remember in SimCity, like SimCity 4, what was it, 4,000 or 4, I can't remember, but you would actually have to lay out your subway lines.
Oh, yeah.
Were you a big SimCity fan?
No, dude, I played the original SimCity.
I played the first SimCity.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh. I was such a Sim nut. I used to dream in SimAnt.
Did you really?
Like, I used to play SimAnt.
Skipped SimAnt, but I played the hell out of Sim Tower.
You could plot out, like, your battles between your red ants and your black ants, and I would do, like, tactical analysis in my mind and my sleep at night.
That is awesome.
And you
awesome.
Would see the ant. Never mind. This is totally off topic. But Tropico is great. The new DLC, Modern Times, is going to cost 1,200 Microsoft points. That's around $15
which,
on Xbox 360.
Which, by the way, are on their way out, by the way, right?
Yes, so we'll just be able to save real
dollars.
Money eventually, which is very nice. And it's going to be $19.99 on the PC, which I think makes it the most expensive Tropico DLC to date. But it definitely has the most improvements. There's
you
a lot of new quest lines. I think it's worth it. Tropico is a great game. You know, I wish they had done more to improve Tropico 4 over Tropico 3.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was kind of not that big of a difference. So it's nice to see them adding DLC later down the line. I know we had that fight about it last week about paying for more content.
Yeah, sure.
I know
you're a fan of DLC.
DLC is great. DLC is a great way to add value to a game that you already own.
Do you feel like this finally completes what Tropico 4 should have been from the beginning?
I think this should have been in the original game,
right.
is my point of view. But I think
if you already have it, it's
totally worth it to buy. The new buildings are great. You can make your island look totally tricked out,
right.
which is cool, and kind of bring it up to modern times, of course.
Awesome.
And who needs SimCity when you have El Presidente?
Hells yeah.
Balamos.
All right, important question here. Who pays for all this prattling nonsense? Ford Motor Company, that's who.
Game On is brought to you by the fine folks at the Ford Motor Company and their Sync App Link. Sync App Link lets you control select apps from your smartphone using nothing but your voice commands. So your hands stay on the wheel, your eyes stay on the road, and your life stays in your body. With Sync App Link, you can do things like control Pandora or listen to your tweets with OpenBeak. All you have to do is just ask for your tweets and it reads them to you. Once your smartphone is linked to Pandora, for example, you can ask for custom stations just using your voice. Pandora, play Pendulum. You can select your favorite station, make a new one, you can bookmark songs to purchase, give songs a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and with OpenBeak, for example, you could just say, read timelines or read replies. Sync App Link is built on an API platform that allows Ford to continue to work on it with developers in the app community to bring more and more apps to life with voice in your vehicle. Voice-activated Sync App Link available on the 2012 Ford Fiesta. You can learn more about this and other technologies at ford.com/technology.
Question for you. Are you a plain Jane killer or a hardcore badass assassin who murders with flair and panache? If your answer is the latter, then don't be surprised when you see yourself as we count down the top five wildest first-person shooter kills on the lead sheet.
88 countdown.
First up, Modern Warfare 2 with the luckiest game-ending throwing knife kill we've ever found. Seriously, look at this. Peeking around the corner, throws it halfway across the world, nails it in the head and wins the game. This shot is one in a billion, like the miracle of life itself. Number 4, Skyrim, the town of Whiterun. I know a whitey that should have run this rambling street preacher when our hero fires an arrow straight up into the air, walks 20 paces like a boss, sits down on a bench to enjoy his handiwork.
I don't know what that preacher was praying for, but my guess is it wasn't this. Number three, Halo 3 with an extremely lucky plasma grenade throw. For the commentary, we go to a random fake British dude.
Master Chief leaning back. You might think that he will hit a man on the other side of the map, and that is indeed what he does. Throws the plasma grenade, and it sails open. Shame, it would have been a golden opportunity. Wait a minute. The grenades pop back. It's stuck to the man. It's a frag. It's a frag. Get out the sham. Wow, there's 4 points of the sticky stuff.
Number two on the list, how to troll bots in Counter-Strike Source. Now, this needs a bit of a setup here. The player is the only human on the map. Every other player is a bot with super precise aim that can hit you in the eyeball from 1,000 yards away. The human runs up, plants the bomb, then covers it by shooting a barrel right on top of it. Seconds later, he's totally killed by one of the bots. But that doesn't even matter, because once the bots get there, they gather around where the bomb should be, but they can't figure out that it's underneath the stupid barrel.
Where's the bomb? 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 Uh-oh.
And hilarity and fiery death ensue.
That's not good. Oh my god.
Number one, you had to see this one coming. If you haven't seen it already, Battlefield 3. You're rocking your Super Hornet when all of a sudden you discover a bogey on your six. What you gonna do? Hit the brakes and let him fly right past? Hell no. You go straight up Murdoch on his ass, jump out of the plane, bust him with an RPG, and get right back in the cockpit with a Merc on your record and a song in your heart. I love it when a plan comes together.
Where's the bomb? Where's the bomb? Where's the bomb? Where's the bomb?
That's not good.
Do you have some buck wild first-person shooter kills that we missed? Hit us up on TwitGameOn on Twitter and let us know.
All right, calm down, kids. There is plenty more Game On yet to unspool. Veronica chats up voice actor Liam O'Brien, and we find out if he's creeped out by the term silky pipes, because that's what they say about people who have nice voices. And, of course, a mobile mashup of two classic games presented in a thin candy shell of awesome in this week's AppDiction. But first, toss things back over to Miss Veronica Belmont.
Hello. Hello. I'm joined right now by Liam O'Brien, who wanted me to introduce him as a space monkey, which I'm not sure if that's actually accurate.
Well, we all have to have weekend hobby, so...
Liam is a voice actor, director, and you've done a lot of excellent work that many people in our audience are very familiar with. But I wanted to know, how did you become involved with voice acting in the first place?
It's a pretty common story for people in my line of work. I started in the theater. I went to school at NYU. I'll rewind. I hid from football players in high school and ran to the drama club. So that led to NYU. That led to theater in New York. That led to theater around the country. And sooner or later, I ended up doing a play in Cincinnati, a four-man version of Romeo and Juliet. And the nurse to my Juliet had been doing dubbing in anime for a couple of years. And he said, hey, do you want to go to an audition when you get back? And I did. I mean, I was an Emma nerd and was way into Japanese animation back then. So I went, I booked a job, and it just started this trip down a rabbit hole that has lasted for a decade. And happily, I am a professional geek.
How does it feel different from typical acting, like stage acting, as you mentioned?
A little bit. You go in, you're usually, sometimes you have other people around, but usually you're in a little padded coffin by yourself with a microphone. There's no other actor to work off of. And, if you're in a blizzard, you have to imagine everything. You have to imagine the snow or the cold or the bullet in your head or whatever it is you're dealing with. So that's it. The fact that you're on your own, you can't move a lot. You know, if you're on stage, you can, sky's the limit as long as it fits the story. But if you're in the booth, you're kind of locked right here and you can't go anywhere. So if you're getting shot with or hit with a frag, as you are in most games these days, you can't fly backward through the air. You have to keep it here and go, etc.
As video games become more cinematic, do you feel more pressure to have it be really spot on when you do the voice acting?
There's no question... with the direction things are going, that they're more asked of the actor. I mean, I think you need more well-rounded actors these days, but mostly I'd say, and I know this because I voice direct a lot too, more is expected, I think, from the overall game director and the voice directors. The pressure's on them because it's the same actors coming in, but before you could just say, lightning bolt, and that would be fine, you know, for on-screen carnage or whatever is going on. But for all this cinematic stuff like Uncharted or Gears of War or Resident Evil or any of these games, There's so much like movies now that you can't get away with doing an A and a B take on every line and then just moving on, which, you know, still happens in some games, but not in the direction we're going. So it's really up to the directors to paint the picture, explain everything, give backstory, so that the actors know what's going on. If you don't, you know, if you don't invest time to prep the actor and let them know where they are and work out the relationships that they're experiencing, then it's going to only be, you know, one dimension. But so it's really on the people who are doing the chefs in the kitchen who are planning everything out.
As a director, who are some of your favorite voice actors that you've worked with, or just as a fellow professional, who do you enjoy listening to in games?
All right. Well, that's a hard question. I'll give you an incomplete list, because if any of my friends are listening and I don't say their name, they probably sock me in the nuts when I see them around town. But this, an incomplete list would include, I guess maybe one of my favorite actors right now is Laura Bailey. You probably know her from, if anyone's playing the female bounty hunter in the Old Republic right now.
I am.
Then you and Laura are one.
Yes.
The sexy blonde bombshell in that crazy Japanese game Catherine that came out recently. She's Catherine. Sarah in Final Fantasy. She's in everything. I mean, she's been around for a long time. She also started dubbing anime in Texas and came to LA. And she just, she's my favorite actress in the industry right now, because she's got a lot of range and breathtaking talent. And she's a huge dork, which is nice too. Troy Baker, you'll know from, he's going to be Booker DeWitt in Bioshock Infinite. He's in The Last of Us, so everyone's going to know who he is real soon. He's a great actor. Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, some of you might know from Ghost in the Shell. Steve Bloom, who I idolized when I was a young buck. You probably know him from, anyone who knows him first from Cowboy Bebop. He was the main guy in Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
It's fun of time.
I totally recognize that voice. I hear him all the time and other stuff as well.
Yeah, he's all over the place. He is Wolverine now. So if you're ever hearing Snicked, you're also hearing Steve's voice. Yuri Lowenthal, Steve Bloom, Fred Chattershore, Roger Craig Smith, Jennifer Hale, my man wife, Sam Riegel. Yeah, none of those are people. So my goldfish at home.
I've been curious, as an actor, do you ever get to put in any kind of personal touch into the characters that you work on? Is there something that wasn't necessarily written in on the script that you're like, I have a feeling that this character would react this way or say this line a way it wasn't necessarily written as?
A couple of times, maybe. I don't know if you remember a Japanese game from like a year or two ago called Nier. I played a floating book called Grimoire Vice, and he was just supposed to be a snooty magical book, and I don't know, I brought it very high into my nose and everything was very stuffy and Anthony Mason, and I don't think that's what they intended, but it was a lot of fun. And you know, I spent so much time going, get down, and ninja attack, or you know, there's certain genres that happen a lot. It was nice to there's a lot of swearing in that game, which we don't get to do all the time. And then Dungeon Siege 3. Anybody there play that? Somewhere in there are like robotic clockwork automatons, which were, I'm the voice of every single one you meet in the game. They're just supposed to be guards for a city in a medieval town. But they're sort of a cross between, I don't know, a city guard and Mr. Movie Phone, because they would place together different pieces of logic as they talk. They'd be like, someone would walk up to them, the player, and they'd say, "Greetings, Paladin, how are you?" So there are these little tiny breaks, and I don't think I'd ever done anything quite like that either.
What was probably your favorite character that you've played so far, or recently?
Well, that's like picking children. I can't pick one. Illidan, a big one,
of course.
When I first did Illidan, I had no idea what Warcraft was. No idea. And it's just this huge, you know, it's taken on a life of its own. So I'm happy to have him in my stable. I'm a character on an anime series called Naruto, which is on 3 games. I play a little red-haired murderer who kills people with the sand. I'm pretty fond of him. And maybe Nightcrawler, who I started in the animation series Wolverine and the X-Men, and he's popped up in a couple of video games, and
I actually have another question. Can I follow up?
Sure, go ahead.
This is a question we asked Tara Strong, and she had very, very strong opinions about it. But how do you feel about traditional Hollywood? Obviously, being a voice actor, you guys have a very specific attitude about how you take your craft and how you try to create these characters. How do you feel about, and you see this much more in Hollywood movies than you do in video games, but every so often you get some big name celebrity to come in and voice one or two voices. Can you speak real quick about how that is in the video game world versus how it is in the Hollywood world? Because in the Hollywood world, it sounds like people are not too happy about all of a sudden someone drawing a six or seven digit figure just because he's famous, when, you know, he doesn't know the first thing about voice acting.
No, I get it. We have that. You know, I like it when it works. I like it when the actor is good. One of my favorite performances in a video game ever is Anna Torv as Noriko in Heavenly Sword. I mean, I thought she was amazing in that. And, you know, when it's cast right and the actor is great, more power to that actor. But, you know, there is stunt casting. You know, it's different in every scenario. And I understand. Like, I've been replaced by celebrities. I'm not going to talk about the game. I've recorded lead character once or twice where I recorded the whole game. And then they said, you know, we loved you. And corporates asked for a celebrity, not even a specific celebrity, just a celebrity.
You're a celebrity. We're going to go get one.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. But again, if it works, fantastic. And, you know, if it's a stunt, but what are you going to do?
What's one of the harder voices you've had to do that gave you, like, the most challenge?
That's a recent game. Are you guys familiar with Asura's Wrath?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm Asura, and I've never screamed more blood on the glass than I did with that game. I would come in with all games now, you'll have your cinematic scenes, and you'll come in, and we live in Excel files for the most part. We read our lines off of massive, long, scrolling Excel files, and you'll have your cinematic scenes, and then you'll do your battle stuff. You know, just over and over and over again, which you save for the end. And I'll never forget walking in to my first day for that part. If anyone doesn't know, he's sort of like a quasi-Japanese Hindu god of wrath, and he's just angry all the time. But I walked into my first session, and this big, it's a studio with a huge wall, and the Excel file is projected on the screen. And I went, scream, 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 scream. And I said, what, is that the battle efforts? And they're like, no, that's actually scene one and two. So we're going to start with the scenes. It's just like the guy has a couple of quiet lines, and then he's just Dragon Ball Z. Hours.
Were you like, can we do the screams last so I can save my voice a little bit for the quieter moments? Or did they want you to have that kind of husky sound after all the screaming?
I did, and I always do. The problem is 97.5% of his lines were screams, so there was no organizing anything. It was just, we'll take breaks, and we're going to do two-hour sessions instead of four-hour sessions, and we have Band-Aids for the inside of your throat.
So on a personal note, I recently had my first voice acting experience, as we mentioned earlier, with Fallout New Vegas, some of the DLC there. And all
you make a very sexy light switch.
Oh, thank you. All my characters kind of sounded like me. I don't really do character voices very well. Is that something I can get away with going forward, or do I not have a future in this whatsoever?
No, you can move forward with it. I mean, listen, the Tara Strongs of the world are going to take the lion's share of the work. You know, someone like Tara can do, and you know, any kind of voice under the sun, but there's a lot of actors who they have one key voice, and if you can do, which I heard in the game, if you use your voice but skew into, you know, a seductress or skew into a soldier.
I'm not very good at that either.
Those are...
I'm not good at that.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay, we can work on that later.
But if you just lean into different, you know, professions or archetypes rather than, you know, trying to sound like, you know, a 5,000-year-old demon or an elf or, you know, a pixie or something, it's just you in different, wearing different hats. Veronica the soldier, Veronica the secretary, which is what I heard from that game.
Nice. Can you tell us about anything you're working on right now? Anything new coming up soon?
Well, the stuff that we work on, whenever we're currently working on something, you know, it's deep under wraps and we can't really bring it up. And why is my power switch about to come off? No, good. I'm good. But the recent stuff, you know, I was really hoping I could talk about stuff I was directing all last year, but it's still in development and they're keeping it in that giant vault under the Pentagon where they keep the Ark of the Covenant. So I can't talk about those. But as far as acting goes, Asura's Wrath is about to hit in a month. Lord of the Rings War in the North came out. That was a big nerd win for me because I voice Elrond's twin sons in there. So anytime I get to do something like that, like I was an Autobot in the War for Cybertron, and I could not say the line "Optimus, look out" to save my life because I just couldn't believe I was doing it. I just kept giggling like a schoolgirl. And then the last thing I can kind of pimp out is Final Fantasy 13-2 mm-hmm. hits soon, and I am the purple-haired David Bowie-esque villain in that, Caius, which is another sort of badge of honor. I played Final Fantasy VII. That's where I got in, and all through my career, I just would think about, like, man, I'll have made it. I'll have made it in the game industry when I play like a sizable role in Final Fantasy, and now it happens. So I've checked off a box, sort of.
Good. I'm excited to play that one too. I'll be listening for you in the game. Okay. Can I ask you to give me a little Illidan before we say goodbye?
Sure.
You are not prepared.
Oh, that is so badass.
You can't see it, but behind the cameras, everybody's quietly clapping with excitement right now.
So if people want to follow your work online, where should they go?
You can go to the Twitters. I am Voice of O'Brien. Voice of O'Brien, O'Brien with an E. LiamO'Brien.biz exists out there. I have a Facebook page that I cannot remember the address for, but I'm sure you can find it. And I'm on a lot of male prostitution sites, so there's four places you can go to look for me.
There's that. All right, thank you so much, Liam. We'll talk soon.
All right, thank you. My pleasure.
All right, so a lot of you are already responding to our heart-wrenching PSA that we ran earlier in the show. But unfortunately, the lack of Steam accounts has claimed many victims.
He didn't know Steam even had press accounts. Now, his desire for one has changed him. He terrorizes peaceful neighborhoods like a feral dog. He abandoned his family, sleeps in the streets, and looks for loose eggs in strange garbage bins.
Hey, you guys. My name is OMG Chad. Brian has seriously lost his shit. If you see Brian, he's most likely talking to strangers, or he's declared martial law. Only you can help Brian by calling the police if you see him. He stabbed me with a Pez dispenser he sharpened into his shiv. Also, if your name is Doug Lombardi and you work at Steam's PR, fair warning. Don't leave any loose eggs in your trash bin. Brian has really been into that these days. I will hold the balance
if you count it down. Please help for the love of God. If it takes my whole
life, I won't break it. You know, people keep asking me what I look like with my hair down. The answer, that.
Eggs are basically just liquid meat.
That's found footage, by the way. That was not even an act. All right, guys, a word game and a puzzle game met in college. They huffed paint, made love, and built a house entirely out of neon fluorescent lighting where they raised a love child named Puzzle Juice. His brave story is told in this week's Appdiction.
So when you first see Puzzle Juice, you might think, really? A Tetris clone? But as you maneuver the boxes around the screen and eventually line them up, the dirty little secret that makes this the brain-twisting gem that it is reveals itself. Completed lines don't disappear. Boom! They become letters. Now you have to make words to make them disappear. The hybrid of two very different gameplay dynamics is a bizarre juggling act. You can almost feel your brain switching gears back and forth to each aspect. But the premise isn't the only surprise. Bigger words create explosions that knock off other tiles, clearing the board even further. Also, selectable power-ups are vital lifelines when things speed up. They're immensely satisfying to execute. For example, you can do a twister that shuffles the entire board or create even bigger explosions that totally reshape the landscape. Meanwhile, the attitude of the game is light and fun. Feels like it was created by a 22-year-old college student, which is apt because it was. For example, its tagline is that it's a game that will punch your brain in the face. There's no start button, but a let's go. When you get a high score, the default name is Brosif. The addition of an increasing combo multiplier means that when you're in the zone, you can score billions or even trillions of points. There are even clever audio cues that help indicate when your multiplier is running out. The score is also amazing. Seriously, listen to it. Something you could totally get lost in. It's not all milk and honey, though. There are a few bugs that we hope will be ironed out quickly, and it's really a far superior experience on an iPad. You can play it on the iPhone, but when seconds count, the tiny screen can be a killer trying to connect those words. But that's Puzzle Juice, available now on iOS for 99 cents. So, Veronica, you think you'll get it?
I thought I told you, Brushwood. Belmont don't play games.
All things we don't recommend you ever do, except play that game.
By the way, I'll tell you what. We were actually directly referencing a very specific music video from the mid to late 90s there. And if you know which one it is, drop us an email to game@twit.tv.
I have to say, that game is very addictive.
Oh, my gosh, it's fantastic.
Because that was the first time I ever had my hands on it. And I was like, Brian was trying to tell me. Like,
we're trying to set up the shoot. And you're just like, shut up. Yes.
I'm doing stuff.
I'm about to get the word cares.
They just make up words, I think, in that game,
No, that's the best part. That's one of my favorite things, is you think that you're just doing BS words, but at the end, it gives you a list of all the words that you came up with, and you can click to see the definition. So you're like, oh, NID is a word, and now I learned something today.
I learned something. Very good.
Learned to drive while playing on an iPad.
Not safe. Jiminy Christmas, we're almost ready to wrap up the show, but that doesn't mean we're going anywhere. We'll be joined by Glenn Rubenstein for Shut Up and Play, our weekly multiplayer gathering where the staff of Game On plays with all y'all. This week, it's Left 4 Dead 2 at All Up in This. Left 4 Dead 2 All Up in This. Fair warning, I will eat your face off. All right, Glenn, over to you.
What's up, everybody? I am Glenn Rubenstein, the producer and co-host of Shut Up and Play, the Twit Land Party. Tonight, we are playing Left 4 Dead 2. It is the undead versus the living, the survivors facing off. Also, if you stay tuned, we are going to have a face-off here in the studio. Brian Brushwood and myself in our first ever grudge match, previewing the Super Bowl showdown, playing Madden head-to-head, and the stakes are epic. The loser has to shave Twit into the back of their head. Watch to see what happens. If you want to get in on the gameplay, go to the IRC chat room, TwitLive3. We've got all the info for there, how you can get into Left 4 Dead 2 with us tonight. And next week, DC Universe Online. If you want the info on how to play, email us, twitlandparty@gmail.com.
Did I say your name wrong, Glenn?
You know, I don't have a preference.
I'm sorry.
He's
I apologize.
I go both ways.
He's apologize.
Ambistinius. He's Steamstinius. Yes, exactly. And of course, we would not even have a land party if it weren't for the fine folks over at Doghouse Systems, which you just got, Ms. Veronica.
I got a new Doghouse system. It's so good. I was going to update my current gaming PC, and I was like, you know, my motherboard is bad.
You're burying
the
lead.
I need a new CPU.
My
new PC is rad.
We talked about this just before the show. You almost skipped out on your own anniversary because you were afraid that
I was waiting for the FedEx to show up. I was like, I bought this, I'm waiting for it, I'm not going anywhere until the gaming PC shows up.
Seriously, guys, they are the company that provided these kick-ass gaming machines that we'll be playing on tonight, and in fact, they only make kick-ass machines. So when you're ready to level up, use the code GAMEON at checkout, and they'll double your memory for free. You will remember twice as much. Click on the banner ad on our Twit homepage to learn more about the Double Your Memory promotion.
Well, we should head over to OMG Chad to find out if we have any Twitter feedback on the internets right now. Chad, anything good?
We do have some pretty good stuff. Factor of Unknown asks, why you hate Wisconsin?
Oh, hold on.
It's supposed to be a play on like snotty San Francisco girl who's like, this isn't locally sourced. Blah! This wasn't grown in the next town over.
You sound a little bit extra defensive right now. I'm not sure how to take all this.
I don't act very well. I just play what I am.
Okay. Wow. A little too much truth there. What else we got, Chad?
Well, you asked who knew the video that we were trying to reference. And Dan in the chat room says, was it Smack My Bleep Up?
Yes, it most definitely was Smack My Bleep. We can say bitch.
Prodigy.
Smack My Bitch Up. Prodigy. Yes.
Yes. Old school. Very good.
And finally, AnimeCon says, at Voice of Brian, great interview on Twit Game On and at Veronica. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Has anybody tweeted that guy over at Valve?
Has Doug Lombardi gotten back to us yet?
Have you guys found his email yet? Do we have accounts? Is that done?
I have to say, I've met Doug before, and now I'm really embarrassed. A little embarrassed for being that blatant. But hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. All right, well, we have a big thanks to Damon Hatfield from IGN for joining us, as well as Liam O'Brien. And we will see you guys next week.
Love you, party people.
Bye.
Enter into memory stage. Wouldn't you like to escape this cage? Come to us and you'll be sure you're not safe in Aperture. This is Aperture. I am the one that wants to test. Maybe at the end I'll let you rest. This is Aperture, this is Aperture. Aperture, 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 Aperture. You're not safe in this place. All of us warn you of the big white face. You are safe, don't you struggle down. Don't you want your nice big cake? Down that corridor, running to the exit door. She is waiting there to grab and kill you. Run, this is Aperture. White and gray,
slightly blue.
Want some cake? Well, none for you.
Ball here, ball there, throw a terror in the air. Watch for the bullets that'll graze your hair.
Everybody run, everybody run. You're not safe in Aperture. I'm the bot with the adorable face, ready to shoot you in your place. I am the breach at the gate you was scared.
I am the voice that you hear in there.
I am the head of this great place, and I just bought some rocks from space.
This is Aperture, this is Aperture. Aperture, 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 Aperture.
Testing subjects usually die. Science is a fun without cyanide. That's the drill and you may die. But you're not safe in Aperture.
You are safe. Don't you struggle now. Don't you want your nice big cake?
GLaDOS, the joy of me. Fill your room with neurotoxins.
Shoot you with a rocket turret. Turn you into burning mush. This is Aperture. Everybody run. You better escape to a much safer place. Out there shout is master of the portal gun. Everybody help her in her flight.
Now.
This is Aperture. You have the big one.